guys, welcome to Truncated Thoughts presented by Prescouter. In each episode, we talk about trendy healthcare topics for just a few minutes. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmier, and as always, I'm joined by Ryan LaRanger. Today, we're talking about CRISPR, which if you don't know what CRISPR is, it's essentially a tool used for alteration of DNA sequencing and gene editing. Now, Ryan, CRISPR isn't exactly a new concept. In fact, it's been around since like the late 1980s. Where is CRISPR today and how is it being used?
So we could talk about this a little bit in terms of hype cycle. It's CRISPR is now, I would argue, gone past the hype cycle part of, you know, it's a little bit more down to earth. It's being used in a number of scientific applications. The real question is, from a medical perspective, where are things going to push through? There have been some really exciting developments in terms of CRISPR from the perspective of gene therapy. And that range, some groups are interested in looking at it for regenerative medicine purposes. And there's certainly some very interesting work going on in making transgenic animals or transgenic plants. But we could talk about that in a little more, bit more detail as you like.
So I guess when you talk about these edits, can they be made anytime on anyone's DNA? I mean, I guess for the layman like myself here, you know, who's a good candidate for CRISPR? Who does this apply to?
That's a really, really good question. Instead of talking about it in terms of who's a good person candidate for CRISPR, let's start by talking about what's a good gene candidate for CRISPR. The whole point of CRISPR is that there are certain sequences of DNA that CRISPR can target for a cut. And it's just that there's enough variance in the sequence of DNA across the whole genome that if you want to cut at a certain site, you can generally find a correct combination of guides to get you that cut that you want to see, right? So it's more a matter of, do the right sites exist? And the answer to that question is generally yes. The challenge actually comes almost always from the other perspective. It's not, does this one site exist, but rather instead, how many off-target sites exist?
Ryan, what do you mean by cuts? Like, back us up a second here. Gene cuts, what does that mean?
Oh, sure, absolutely. So CRISPR can be used in a few ways. The traditional way that it's used is you have these two guide RNAs, which guide the CRISPR-Cas9 complex to a specific sequence on the genome, and then it initiates a double-stranded break. So it breaks both halves of that particular DNA sequence. Now, what that allows for is then double-stranded repair, which if you have a sequence that's floating nearby that has basically a complementary sequence to what's just been cut, plus an addition or some small change, that's an easy way to insert something into the genome.
Got it. So it's addition and subtraction at the same
right,
time.
Right. But the important thing is that's not the only thing CRISPR can do. One of the things that I actually find very interesting in terms of novel, not necessarily what you would think of uses of CRISPR technology, are actually as sensors. So the whole CRISPR complex is a very, very sensitive sensor for particular sequences, which can allow you to even detect single point mutations, which is important because many drivers of disease, especially cancer, are point mutations, things that are very difficult to detect using traditional, call it macro sequence detection methods outside of sequencing, which has its own problems. Right. So one of the advantages of using CRISPR molecule is you can disable the cutting element of CRISPR. And then what you have is a really, really robust sensor that can be used to detect aberrant mutations, which would normally be very, very difficult to detect.
So it sounds like it could help you in many different ways, but what are some of the biggest challenges that we've seen with CRISPR? Kind of going back to the original point that it's been around for a while, but I mean, is it being widely used? What are some of the holdups or roadblocks?
So there are open questions about CRISPR, especially for applications in people. So when you think about it from a regenerative medicine perspective or from a gene editing perspective, there's a potential for off-target effects when you're trying to do CRISPR. So you're going to be cutting at a specific site that you're interested in that has the sort of guide sequences that you're looking for. But the problem is that combination of that sequence is not just there. That sequence can be in other places, and this is a physics-mediated binding. So it doesn't necessarily have to be perfect. There's a certain error rate associated with it. So you can wind up with CRISPR making cuts in other places. And that can be dangerous. It can lead to mutations. It can lead to off-target effects. And so the real balance is between sensitivity and accuracy, just like with almost any other development cycle in this space. It's you need to modulate accuracy, you need to modulate sensitivity. Now, just before we move on, an important thing to highlight is there are some groups that are doing very interesting things with modifying the CRISPR protein, the complex, the guides, to make them more specific and more accurate. I would argue we do not necessarily have a gold standard yet, but we may get there moving forward. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm wondering is, does some of that sensitivity or the sensing, does that apply better or worse to, say, certain disease states or therapeutic areas? Is there any evidence or thoughts around that?
Oh, gosh. it depends. You want sensitivity to be really high for your sensors, right? Sometimes you want sensitivity to be a little bit lower in cases where you want accuracy to be really high, right? So you only want a perfect bind, and it's okay if you get fewer binds, right? These are the kinds of things that you can modulate. You can have it so that there are a couple of forms of CRISPR, if I'm remembering correctly, where you need a bind on both sides to allow for a complete cut, which, you know, makes the chance of off-target effects much lower. So the very, very short version is, for regenerative medicine purposes, you have a really, really high safety stringency, right? So there are some groups that are working on using CRISPR to make changes in some cells and then adding those cells back to the patient to act as a therapeutic to correct for a protein deficiency or some of these other things. That requires very high stringency because it is hard to detect if something has gone wrong. From a regulatory perspective, it's a little bit of a nightmare, right? If you're modifying transgenic organisms, livestock, or let's say agriculture, the stringency is a little bit less high, but you still want it to be really accurate, right? It's just you're not dealing with the FDA as much. That helps. But then with sensors, it's just accuracy is king because you're trying to sense a very small number of aberrant sequences in a very large pool. And so if you have some off target, as long as you have a secondary confirmatory method, it's less of a safety issue and you're in good shape.
Okay, Ryan. So we've kind of scratched the surface with CRISPR. I think like many of the things that we discuss, there certainly is more that we can go into, but we'll have to save that for another episode. So that is all the time that we have for today. We hope that you've enjoyed this discussion. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast at Apple, Spotify, or Stitcher. Our plan is to have at least one new episode per week, kind of rotating topics. So next week, we're planning to talk about generics and biosimilars. And until then, thanks for listening.